George, our next guest is with us, great friend of the show. Please make that introduction.
Absolutely. Always excited when we have Tim Bryce on the program. We always have the best guests, and I feel like Tim is one of the people who helps make that true. He's a freelance writer. He, of course, resides in Tampa Bay, Florida, and particularly this time of year going forward, that means paradise. But don't rub it in, okay? Particularly, in the future months when we're shoveling snow and you're not. But
we're raking leaves.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's a good point. But anyhow, he has a popular blog, The Bryce Is Right, and there, of course, you can. And Bryce is B-R-Y-C-E, rhymes with price, but it's not spelled like price. The Bryce Is Right, and he does lots of great stuff there. He also publishes things at the Washington Times, the Huffington Post, and he has a book out, Before You Vote, Know How Your Government Works. All of that, of course, makes a lot of sense. It's one of the reasons that we have Tim on the show. Now, Tim, you have, and Rick teased, if you will, this segment by saying that you were going to talk about a fight and the importance of a fight. So we thought we'd get into what you're fighting and what's that about.
You're talking about my column that's coming out on Tuesday. And about a month ago, I found out that I have liver cancer. And I kind of sat on the news for quite a while till I could sort it out. You know, I didn't want anybody to say, oh, Tim, I'm so sorry to hear this. And I still don't want to hear it, you know. I don't want to get Facebook messages and stuff like that. But I decided to come out and talk about it tomorrow to give you a full idea about what it means to go through a cancer type of thing, and talk about my journey. As a matter of fact, I just came from the doctor's office, and I'm scheduled to have my first procedure Thursday, December 2nd, so right after the Thanksgiving holiday out there. And it was kind of interesting. I was not expecting it. I feel fine. That's probably the hardest part of it, is I feel fine. I feel like I'm 19 years old, you know, in terms of physical, you know, fitness on the thing. But over the years, and I think Rick will remember, I used to weigh a lot more, and I tossed off about 70 pounds and got rid of that. And I thought, well, okay, the problem originally was going to be just a fatty liver, which led to like cirrhosis of the liver and then cancer. But we don't know for sure what it is. No, I don't have hepatitis C. No, I've not used any dirty needles or anything like that. That's the best guess we can think of as to how I got this. But anyway, when I saw my my doctor on that, and I've got a really good medical team around me. I think the sharpest guy in the area doing all of this. And he says, "Damn, Tim, you've got it." And I took it pretty good. But as I was driving home, you know, I suddenly felt like, hey, what's going on here? And I'm driving home. I went into a little bit of a twilight zone type of thing. And I thought, well, this can't be real or whatever. Very strange. Now, and I felt that for the first couple of days, you know, just like, this can't be, you know, but it is. And I'm very fortunate. I have two doctor friends. One is my old doctor, who is retired and lives in my neighborhood. And so I went over all the paperwork with him and so on. And, yeah, he confirmed and clarified a lot of things that the doctor had said to me. I also have a retired oncologist who's a friend, and he walked me through it, too, and so on. Now, they didn't know what to do, you know, at first about it, so I went through a battery of tests. Man, I have been through the tests. MRIs, CAT scans, you know, even an EKG on top of everything, and finally some biopsies. And the biopsy revealed that, yes, you know, this is where it is and so on, and the CAT scan showed where it was. Fortunately for me, it's not spreading, and I'm finding out that liver cancer behaves a little differently than most. So I'm not really a candidate for chemotherapy or anything like that. I had three alternatives out of this. One was a liver transplant, and they said, no, you're not right for it right at this stage. But number two is surgery, where they would basically cut out the tumors that are on me. I have two large tumors and some small ones, and cut that out. Sim, we do it all at once, and we got that all cut out. You wouldn't have much of a liver left, and you'll die for that. So that's not really an option. So the third thing is, and this is what I'm going to do, it's a, I can't even remember the name of the procedure on a thing, but basically they go in and they cut out the blood vessels that go feed the tumors, thereby killing them. And so that's what I'm going to undergo. My first pass is on December 2nd on that. And fortunately, and it was kind of interesting, is you, for one of the first things you do is you surround yourself with your support network. Of course, you talk to your family and so on, but I don't want to become a burden to my family. You know, everybody said, hey, can I drive you here? Can I drive you there? Can I do this? And I said, hey, guys, I feel fine. I can drive myself. I can go all over the place or whatever. But they're, so they're naturally concerned. But, you know, you get this thing. And I also have some close personal friends who've gone through other forms of cancer. So I talked to them. And one is a very nice lady I've known for over 50 years back from high school. And she survived breast cancer. And anyway, we've talked about it to great length in terms of how to go through all of this stuff. But it's a very, very odd type of thing. And I'll tell you an interesting story. The next day after I heard about it, I went to this family restaurant that I normally go to for lunch. And I'm just sitting there minding my own business, and I happen to see an argument erupt across the room, and it was a husband and wife, and they're bickering about cleaning the house, and this is going on, and it got really vocal. And I'm going, guys, this is overkill. What are you talking about? And you sit back and you say to yourself, you know, we don't have our priorities straight on some of these things. You know, we don't really concentrate on what's important anymore, you know. And so it's been a very enlightening type of experience for me to go through on this. And like I said, I've surrounded myself with good friends, but I also have a lot of confidence in my medical team. And when I talk to my main doctor and the doctor today, the surgeon who's going to perform it, is this a common type of procedure? No, it's not a common procedure, but, you know, we've done it a lot of time. Yes, we will take it out. But will I ever, and the doctor said something today, which I thought was kind of interesting. The good news, bad news is, no, this is not a cure. What it will do is it will enhance my quality of life. I will live longer. But the thing is, I'm going to have to go in constantly for checkups and all kinds of things that I've got to do. So, you know, their professionalism, their confidence, and their optimism has really been important to me.
One of the things that I think that, you know, obviously, if had you lived 100 years ago, there'd be nothing they could do for you. And I would argue that if you lived in other countries, in many instances, there'd be nothing they can do for you. I think what you're actually, and I don't mean to make light of this and say, oh, you're lucky. I'm saying, given the circumstances, I think you're lucky to be living in America in the 21st century, where we have a free market system of medicine that promotes innovation and excellence, and where, you know, you and I are senior citizens, so is Rick. It would be easy to look at us and say, you know what? They've lived a long, full life. This is going to cost a lot of money. And in some places, they do that. They just look at us at kind of like you would an old car. And right. When the old car needs a new transmission, you say, never mind, just haul it off to the dump. We don't, you know. And that's okay to make that decision on a car.
Yeah.
It's not okay to make that decision on a human being. And so to me, as I hear your story, I'm really grateful that we actually have the means to treat you and hopefully catch, it sounds like, because it's stage two, that's a lot better than for stage three, four, or five. And so that while you'll have to be vigilant and go back to the doctor and things like that, it sounds like there's certainly the potential for some very good news, and I'm certainly hoping and praying for that.
Well, the other thing, too, is what I found interesting when I came home is first thing you want to do is get your house in order. So I pulled out the wills and looked over everything. And frankly, it was good exercise for me because I haven't looked at my will since it was written back in 1985. Mm. But I have a attorney friend who went over the document, documentation, brought it up to date. I got a power of attorney now, and living will. I got all of that stuff under control. Everything's ready. I've already instructed my son and daughter in terms of what to do should something happen. But beyond that, you know, I don't think it's really hit me. I'm not really scared, and I should be scared, but I'm not. I figured, look, I've lived a good life. I've been very fortunate to see quite a bit of the world, helped a lot of people, know a lot of people, and so on, and I've done my thing. So, you know, I'm not a fatalist or anything like that, but I'm just saying, look, if the worst push comes to shove, hey, I've had a good life. And, you know, I look at it from that point of view. And some people think that that's kind of morose, but I think it's a, I think it's a realistic attitude to have.
Fair enough.
You know, and I tell people, I said, look, you know, don't give me any sympathy or anything like that, but a little prayer wouldn't help. It would help.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, no, I believe in the power of prayer, and I think hopefully our viewers and listeners will keep you in their prayers as well. But we are up against the break for this segment, Tim, but I'm glad you can stick around because I know Rick would like to get in on the conversation. There's more to discuss. But I do want to remind our viewers and listeners, this is the Conservative Commandos. I'm George Landreth, my co-host, Rick Trader, and our guest is Tim Bryce of The Bryce is Right. Don't go away, because we will be right back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos radio show with George Landreth and yours truly, Rick Trader. And shout-out time to folks who are listening to us on radio stations in Jacksonville, Tampa, and the Villages, Florida, Las Vegas, Reno, and Sparks in Nevada, Macon, Georgia, Lancaster and Pittsburgh, Boulder and Colorado Springs, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Long Beach, California, as well as Arlington, Virginia. Also seen on the AUN television network in San Francisco, Sacramento, San Jose, Silicon Valley, Wine Country, Reading, very soon in Carson City and in Reno. Our friend Tim Bryce is with us. He's the creator of The Bryce is Right. We're discussing a personal battle that Tim is facing, a fight with cancer. Hey, Tim, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your bravery in discussing this. And this is a very different topic than what we're used to talking about here on the Conservative Commandos radio show. But it's a topic that faces, I don't know any family. I don't know any family that does not escape cancer. And I think it's very important, A, that you know the facts. I also think it's very important that, B, you be your own advocate. And you get the best doctors and the best advice that you can. And, Tim, coming into the Christmas season, I have my favorite TV shows that I like to watch, my favorite movies, It's a Wonderful Life and Holiday Inn and White Christmas and all. But there's another one. It's called The Gathering. And it was a made-for-TV movie, I guess, going back into the 70s with Ed Asner. And in this movie, Ed, his character, got cancer. And I'll never forget what he said to his doctor when his doctor, who was his friend, gave him the diagnosis that he did have cancer. And he says, actually, you've given me a gift, the gift of knowing, so I can make things right with my family, with my children, with my business. And I've thought about that many, many times, and I'm not sure if I personally want to know what my end game is, or where it is, or when it is. But what do you think of the idea of, yeah, it's given you the gift of time in as much as that you can make things right with your family, your friends, with what is in your bucket list, what is on your hot plate. I mean, none of us gets out of here alive.
Right.
The only difference is when and where of what. So does any of those thoughts ring any bells with you, Tim? I know you said you got your will out. You did that.
First thing, you know, I like the black and white version of It's a Wonderful Life better than the color version.
Me too. Me
so,
too.
So did Jimmy Stewart. But no, like I said, I've surrounded myself with good people who have given me some optimism out there. I'm dating a nice lady right now who also fought breast cancer and beat it 5 years ago. So all of that stuff is good. And I tend to be more positive about all of this type of stuff. You know, and I tell people this, I've said this quite a lot. If you realize how lucky we have been in terms of what we've seen in our lifetimes. For me, I got to see Mickey Mantle play. Mickey Mantle, by the way, died of liver cancer, if you will recall, and he did not get the transplant at the last minute, unfortunately. That was a real tragedy for me, but Mickey Mantle went through my mind, too, as I was driving home that day. But, you know, I've also seen the Big Red Machine. I was there when Secretariat won the Kentucky Derby.
Wow.
I've seen Jimi Hendrix. I've seen Frank Sinatra. I've seen some great music and so on. I saw a man on the moon. And it's been interesting from a political stance, you know, what we have seen in our lifetime out there. And I've been watching, going back lately and watching some of the old Reagan tapes on YouTube, and kind of interesting in terms of how that man performed and so on. And I would like to think that this country would have some common sense, but I don't see the common sense out there anymore. I wrote a piece about a week ago talking about the coattails of Joe Biden. And I think what we're going to see in 2022 is a really reversal of Democrat policies and so on. And I think the Republicans are going to take back both chambers of the House. 'Cause Joe Biden has no coattails whatsoever to offer the Democrats at this time. That's the biggest thing I took away from election night this year. And Kamala Harris doesn't have it either. I don't see how that man can stay in there through 2024. His approval ratings are low.
I do. Vote fraud.
Oh, yeah. Fraud. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's always a possibility.
Tim, in your article, you wrote that years ago, you wrote an article, Cancer the Big Kahuna, right, of diseases, which described as various forms of diseases. Since then, I've lost friends and loved ones to various kinds of cancer. As I said, I don't know of a family that hasn't been touched by cancer. But I do think that if people, and I repeat this again, people need to be their own self-advocate. They need to educate themselves, educate their families. You got multiple opinions are very good. What advice would you have for somebody who might be in a similar situation that you're in now or in the future?
Get a checkup. How they found it with me is kind of unusual. And they asked me that today. How did you know that you had a problem? And I said, well, I didn't. And what it was for me was the blood platelet count had gone down, and really down. And so that's what started all of this thing. And I had to have a biopsy, and they drew bone marrow out of my hip and looked at over and said, Tim, you're producing plenty of good blood. So something's inside of you eating it up. You know, and so that's when we started going through the CAT scans, the MRIs, and all that kind of stuff, and finally the biopsy of the liver, and that's when we discovered it. And I just sat there and go, all of this because I did my regular checkup, and we kept tracking my blood, and he says, this is not right, Tim, something's going on here. So my advice is, yeah, go do your regular checkup. Now, having said that, after what I've been through in terms of tests, my social calendar is nothing but doctor visits and testing. And I'll tell you what, that's getting old. That is really getting old. It's pretty bad when your social calendar is nothing but visiting the doctor, you know. And it really wears on my nerves big time out there. And the administration of the doctor's offices just drives me crazy. I don't know how many times I've been asked the same questions over and over and over. And in fact, I'm to the point, yes, no, 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 yes, yes, no, no. It's preposterous. Today, this guy has known me. He's worked on me twice. and they still ask the same damn questions all over again. And so it gets on your nerves. But with a little patience, you can do it. But, you know, yes, visit your doctor, get your routine checkups. And, again, I thought I was great. The other thing, problem I had is, as you know, I lost both my wife and my mother, and I took care of them for 5 years. And I was primary caregiver, if you will, for them. You know, I was taking care of them. And now suddenly I'm the patient. And that really threw me off big time. You know, I was not prepared for it. I thought I was the go-to guy that could take care of everything. No, we're all human. We all need to have checkups.
You know, Tim, you've been coming on the show for several years, many, many years. And usually it's on a political of the things you write about are of a political nature. And again, this is a very different type of an interview for us to do on a conservative commandist. I don't know, Tim, I don't know about anybody else, but I have put myself in the position mentally. What would I do? What would I do if I found out that I had a cancer? Or what would I do if I found out this or found out that? Why did you decide to, at this time, come out and write this type of an article? Again, very different from the things you usually write about. Why was it important for you to write this article?
Well, a lot of people, you don't hear much about personal stories about that. You might hear somebody that you know of that's got it or whatever. But I decided to put it in black and white to let people know that, you know, hey, you're not alone. Other people are going through all of this thing. And if my journey out there can help you look at it and think about things and look at things a certain way, hey, then I think I've accomplished my task. I'll really be interested to see the reaction it gets when it comes out on Tuesday. Because I think it'll have a lot, and really kind of, I get a lot of email from my articles. I really think I'm going to get an avalanche of them tomorrow. So for those of you who look in and want to say something, great, but give me some time to answer you, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I've got a good spirit. I've got a good attitude about it. I can't drink anymore, and I've been losing weight. But I still smoke my cigars from time to time. That's my last vice I'm allowed.
You know, Tim, as George says, if one thing, you're so very fortunate to be living in this country at this time and at this place.
Very much so.
And a couple of years ago, I saw a documentary, and I'm only putting this out there for people to maybe check it out. It's a documentary based on a book entitled Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. And it was so well done to follow the history of cancer going back to Egypt, the time of the pharaohs, ancient Egypt. It was a real education about cancer, the diagnosis, the treatment of cancer, the myths, the lies, the truths about it, bringing it up to today, and the treatments, the miraculous treatments that are out there. And I'm only bringing this up because, as I said, I think people need to be educated. They need to be their own advocates, also advocates for their friends and families too. And I just thought this was a tremendous work to educate people about cancer. As I said a couple of times, there's no family that hasn't been touched by this.
Well, it's now number one disease in the United States. It used to be heart disease, but we've done such a good job with protecting the heart now, you know, that I call cancer the big kahuna of the diseases now. That's what I wrote about back in 2009. It was amazing how many forms of cancer there are. I've lost friends who had brain cancer, lung cancer, of course. Everybody hears about that. But all kinds of different forms, cervical cancer, you know, and breast cancer and whatever. Breast cancer is the number one form of cancer that's out there right now.
Mm. And certainly my family's been touched by cancer, in particular breast cancer. Tim Bryce, The Price is Right, Tim. It's always great to have you on with us. I can't say it's great to have you on talking about this particular subject, but...
It needs to be said.
It definitely needs to be said. Hey, Tim, we'll be praying for you. You can count on that. You know, in fact, after you and I spoke yesterday, I mentioned it to my wife, and your name is already being mentioned in a couple of prayer groups around here. So, Tim, please tell.
Prayer works.
There you go. Tim, please tell our audience how they could follow you, read your articles, and check out The Price is Right.
It's timbryce.com. And again, Bryce is spelled B-R-Y-C-E, or just do a Google or Yahoo search, and on Tim Bryce, you'll find me. I'm out there.
All right. Well, Tim, we look forward to having you back many, many times. And, you know,
I will be there.
You know how I feel about you, buddy. You're one of my favorites. You're one of my go-to guys. I always, always look forward to having you back here in the Conservative Commandos. I won't say this in the future, but I look forward to you being part of this show for many, many, many years in the future.
And I will a follow-up on this as we go along. And keep the faith, my brothers.
You bet, baby. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with George Landreth and yours truly, Rick Drader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios of the AUN-TV network. Don't go away. George and I will be back with more news and commentary right after this break.